Today we begin the season of Advent. This is the start of the church's new year. We begin again as we start to prepare spiritually for the holy day of Christmas. Many would have you focus on the holiday of Christmas in, I have to say, a very materialistic way, because of course our businesses do depend upon it. And that's not all bad, and there's nothing wrong with preparing in the usual ways. However, the church gives us permission, in fact, encourages us, invites us into this time, into this holy time, into this season of Advent. These 4 weeks are a time to find some space and a place for stepping away from the daily demands of life, the hectic nature of the Christmas season, and consider what the coming of Jesus into the world means, what it means for you, for me, this year. For every year we celebrate this time, but every year Christ is born to us in a new way, because we are different this year than we were last year. Things have happened. We've grown, we've changed, we've suffered, we've had joy. So I see Advent as a time to find some quiet or a nurturing space for my soul, for your souls, to wait, to watch, to prepare. Certainly our time today, our Sunday mornings together, is a time such as that. Our Wednesday night contemplative services might be just the thing for you in the midst of the busy weeks to come here at 6:30 p.m. and let the peace, the music, the prayers welcome you home to yourself and God. And for those who have young children, it's tough to do this, but maybe you could give this as a gift to your spouse, maybe one come one week and one the other. What is it that you do to stay awake to God in your life? What helps you keep alert to the ways of the Spirit and the love that God has for you? Advent is this lovely, gentle time, but it is also a season that wants to shake us awake. Our gospel reading from Matthew gets our attention. I always wonder during these first Sundays of Advent what a newcomer to Christianity or a newcomer to a liturgical church might make of all this, having come to church perhaps expecting to find us singing Christmas carols already. Instead, one hears about the second coming of Christ. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Not exactly the message or the image we want for our Christmas cards, right? It shakes us up a little bit. What is all this about? Hearing this, we start to remember or realize that Advent is both about the beginning and the ending. Advent is about the birth of Jesus, the first Advent, Advent meaning coming or arrival. Advent also invites us to consider the second coming of Christ. As Episcopalians, this is not something that we think a lot about. In fact, we might be a bit embarrassed by it, want to distance ourselves from those who often like to talk about the end of time and Jesus coming again, perhaps from a street corner. But if we are real about it, every Sunday we speak of it. Today we will say, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again, as part of Eucharistic Prayer A. And this part of the faith is found in our creeds, central to our statements of faith. But we don't want to be like those who've taken this reading and created the idea of the rapture. The rapture is not part of the Christian faith, at its core. This idea came about much later, some would say really got going in the 19th century. But it captures the imagination. We all know about the Left Behind books, the series. Recently, there's a new television series entitled Leftovers. And the leftovers are those people. The premise of this series is that 2% of the population just disappears one day and is gone, and the leftovers are left to deal with it. Interestingly, one of the leftovers is an Episcopal priest. Yes, by episode 2, you get into this, season 1. And he's made it his goal and his purpose, his call, he senses, to investigate those who disappeared to show that they weren't actually such good people. And so he's passing out leaflets everywhere, giving the true story of the people who've disappeared to show that this is not God doing this, taking people to heaven. It's fascinating. This thing never goes away, this rapture idea. My favorite way of dealing with the rapture, and some of you have heard me discuss this before, is a website run by self-proclaimed atheists who, for a reasonable price, will take care of your pets in the event that you are unexpectedly taken up. There's a question and answer section of this website where people ask, well, if you're atheists, you don't really believe this is going to happen, right? And they answer, this is true, but we respect your desire to believe. This is my favorite way of dealing with the idea of the rapture. The fact is, we don't know what will happen regarding the second coming of Christ. History is God's story, and it is going somewhere. Sometimes it seems we're going around in circles, but we are part of God's creation, and it is part of our faith that, in the end, God will prevail. As we hear from the prophet Isaiah, in the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall rise above the hill. All nations shall stream to it. When we think about our world, we might wonder, when will God help us out and bring justice, transform weapons into tools for life, bring an end to war? The first Christians thought that time was coming soon, and so they wrote about it, about the end of time and the need to be prepared. But as the scripture itself tells us, about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Perhaps Christ will come again when all people are acting as Christ to each other. We pray, we act, we seek to be about the ways of God as much as we can. And this makes us an Advent people in a sense. I love the prayers of the people we will use today, provided by the Episcopal Peace Fellowship. In each prayer, we will ask God to help us cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And the light is peace, the light is justice, the light is passion for good. The light is love and joy and the Spirit. We do not need to worry about the second coming of Christ. We don't really have time for that because we are about the meaning of such an advent now. Right now, we are preparing to host Caritas during the fourth week of Advent from December 17th to the 24th. We will provide shelter, food, and friendship to 40 or so women who are working but still need some help as they seek to have the resources to have their own home. You can be a part of our Advent of Christ by supporting these women, by signing up to help with an aspect of the week, or just by stopping by to say hello and perhaps offer a special gift that you have to them of yourself. Christ comes into our world in so many ways. We can't know how all of this is going to end up. We can know that Christ will come for each of us. I believe that at the end of our lives, we will see God. We will see Jesus, and all will be well. Our society does not prepare us for the end of our lives very well, or even the later years of our lives, because our culture is one that likes youth, health, and success, defined in limited, often, ways. But as the prayer we used for the lighting of our Advent wreath said, keep us mindful that at any moment you may ask of us an accounting of our lives. Did that bring you up short today? Maybe we didn't all like that prayer. But being mindful of this is also about being mindful of God's promises and is actually a huge help to us in our daily life, in what we work with every day. I hear this prayer as a positive thing. God cares. God loves us. God wants to hear about our lives. I imagine that it could be we'd be talking with God about our lives, and this would involve a lot of joy. A lot of joy. Joy in the lives we've had, and in those moments that weren't so wonderful, joy in God's forgiveness for those times we were not reflecting God's light to others or our world. The focus of our first Sunday of Advent is to be awake. Stay alert to the ways of God, to God, and to that which we anticipate, both the beginning of the story as we move toward Christmas and the end of the story when Christ will come again. The people in our gospel reading were not doing anything wrong. They were living their lives in the field, grinding flour, sleeping at night in their homes. All this is good and proper. Eating, drinking, getting married. As wonderful as these life experiences are, our lives can be about even more. That's what God offers, even more. We can live our lives, our daily routines, our work, our responsibilities, our activities in joy and fun, and we can do this being awake to the promises of God. We can be alert and watchful for those moments when God is breaking in into our world, into our hearts, calling us to places of trust and hope. I conclude with this prayer, which we will hear again during the prayers of the people. Let us pray. O God of hope, before we turn to you, you run to us. Before we call out to you, you answer. By the might of your Spirit, lift us from the numbing uncertainties of life to joyful expectation of Christ's appearing, that when he comes again, he may greet us as people who anticipate his reign with eagerness and welcome him with praise. Amen.